The Mike Missinelli Show.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missinelli Show is on the air. And we're talking some football issues today. Because, yesterday was some drama on the show, late in the show, where the head football coach was supposed to come on with his presser. And for one reason or another, there was a trade made. It delayed the whole thing. And the audience didn't get to hear the Nick Sirianni presser. And he said some interesting things in there. And he said some things that make me think he's got no idea what's going on. I'm going to be flat honest with you. When we judge this guy, we're judging the acumen he has, the chops for the job. And he said some things that don't make any sense just to talk. And I don't respect coaches that do that. Like, they don't know what to say. They don't really have a plan. They know what's wrong, but they won't tell you how to fix it because they don't really know how to fix it. So they just talk. And one of the things he talked about was he went back to the old cliche. And we're going to hear a good 10 minutes of this, and we're going to play it straight for you. So stay tuned for that. But he went back to the little mantras that he goes by. The connection, the compete, accountability, football IQ fundamentals. That's his mantra, right? So he throws that out there and he goes, well, the only way to fix it is we double down on the and I go, come on, man. The rhetoric is insulting to the fans, but also the team. Because the team looks at it and goes, what's up with this? You know, these guys really know how to coach. They know how to put us in the right positions. He keeps saying we're going to put these players in the right positions to maximize their talents. Is he doing that? Does he know how to do it? Does the defensive coordinator know how to do it? At this stage, I go, they don't have any idea what they're doing. These are the patriarchs of your football team now. These are the guys that are going to be in charge for at least the next couple of years. He's not getting fired after 1 year. And does he give you the impression that he knows what he's doing? I want to ask the honest question. I don't want to be unfair here. Does he give you the impression that he knows what he's doing? When he speaks, do you go, guy knows what he's doing. We're going to get this turned around. It's like he's wandering aimlessly. That's the impression I get with this. Double down. We got to double down. What are you double downing on? You're double downing on crap. You're playing like crap. Your plan's crap. What are you double downing on? With rhetoric? With these motivational words like compete, accountability, football IQ, fundamentals? You can penalize more than any team in a league. Fundamentals? What are you coaching to eliminate those fundamentals? Or to enhance the fundamentals? Where's the football IQ that you're teaching? Because your team plays dumb. Who's got the accountability? You have the accountability. Players are looking to you to give them a plan to win. Well, double down. Well, come on. Don't insult me. I want to play this early in the show, but Tyrone, we heard this press conference and we didn't get a chance to hear it live, but it's all over the place now and we have it. And we're going to play it for people. Well, what did you hear?
He doesn't know and he can't be fully honest about how bad his roster is. So I think what he's trying to do is just do rah-rah because I don't think he thinks he can X and O his way around the bad roster that he has. That's what I think he's realized now. These players aren't good enough, period. Mm-hmm. I got nothing. I can't say it. Well, yeah. He could, mm-hmm. But he won't say it because he's probably, that was probably part of the terms to get the job.
Yeah.
And now I think he's scrambling because some of the answers, I think some of it would be, next year, if I have better players, all my stuff will look better. I think that's where he's at.
And maybe he's right about that.
He could be wrong, too, though.
We talked about the rah-rah part of him early in the season, and now I'm getting at 2-5, I'm getting rah-rah nonsense.
Yeah.
Again, when you're 2-5, you're going to question a lot of things, but getting better, too, is not these drastic jumps. It's little by little each day, so we feel like we're getting better in a lot of different areas, figuring out who we are, what we do well. That's horse crap.
And all their points recently are always garbage time. So it happens. So it goes against Tampa. Tampa gets bored, and people go, "Oh, but look at it! They had a chance." Then this one was obviously the larger one, where it's 30-7 before they do anything. Then they start moving it, and the people don't buy it. It's clear he can help this offense. Now, I do think on offense there is some talent that he's not utilizing. Mm-hmm. I think Smith can play. Goddard, I know, can play. He doesn't stink. I think that there's enough offensive linemen who could run block if he would stick with doing it, and then maybe he could do some play-action things. Rager, not so sure about. We've seen Quez make plays. How many times did they even bother sending him deep last game, for example? A guy, deep threat, your own end, run the ball on first down, take a deep shot on second down, didn't try to convert. Didn't see any of that. There's tons that he's doing wrong. I think he's so out of ideas now, though, he's got to just be looking at the roster. Now, should he be out of ideas in 7 weeks? Probably not.
It's funny he looks at the roster. He's got a defensive coordinator who's killing him right now. And now, I know they don't have any personnel on defense, but you got to try to do some different things. As a coach, you try some different things. What do you got to lose at this point? You get your brains beat in the other way.
Right.
Now, that's under Nick Sirianni's control.
It is. You can't just keep with the double high, with the linebackers playing the way they are. Nothing in the line. You can do something simple like, hey, maybe let Fletcher Cox and them just get after it. That could be something simple like, forget the holding the blocks. It's not working. The linebackers don't fill. So how about we just let them loose, and if they get behind them, they get behind them. Linebackers don't make plays anyway. That would be something simple, because maybe you get a couple sacks out of it. Mm-hmm. Maybe the quarterback. How about you get into third down? They win a whole bunch of the game, the Raiders, where they weren't even getting to third down. First, second, another first down. They weren't even getting to third down until garbage time, where they decided, let's run it, and who cares? How can a defense not forget third and short? How can a defense not even force a third down? That, like, look what we're asking here. Mm-hmm. That's like charity.
I want people to hear the full gist of it. When we come out, we're gonna play you 10 minutes of the conference. You tell me what you're getting your impression of. I mean, this is a guy that's hamming. He doesn't know what's going on, and he's just like he just doesn't have any feel for it right now. There's nothing that's gonna be done about it. And I know we got to suffer through it. But we can judge it at the same time. So the other thing is, if you want some good news, they have the projected draft picks. Now, we know the Eagles will get 3 in the first round. So right now, as it stands, if Carson Wentz continues to play, the Eagles will have the following draft picks. 5 from Miami. Right now, Miami projected to have the 5th draft pick overall. 10, the Eagles' own pick. And the Colts pick at 17. Now, that's pretty good. That's pretty primo to have those kind of picks. But then you hear from people, well, but it's how are we making the picks? Let me tell you something. If you have 5 and 10, I don't think you can mess up.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, you probably can, but it's more of a guarantee that you're going to get a decent player. You're going to be able to package that for somebody you really need. Whatever it is, I'm good with the 5 to 10. The 17, I'm a little iffy on. Because that's dangerous Eagle territory. It has been.
And I think the Colts are going to be a wild card team. Or in the wild card mix.
So you think they're going to ascend?
Well, not that you go from 17 to 21st, you're in the wild card.
Okay, so they could be back end wild card or front end of the wild card.
Yeah, I'm
so
saying.
So 17 is pretty realistic.
17, 20, somewhere in there. Yeah, the Colts aren't a bad foot. After seeing them, one Wentz doesn't stink anymore. Not perfect, not a star, doesn't stink. And if your quarterback doesn't stink, you got a shot. In that division, they're going to win enough games to be around for a while. With a good and Wentz, good for Eagles fans, he's staying upright.
Yeah, listen, 5 and 10, straight highway. 17 for the Eagles, slippery curve.
They don't get 5 and 10 right.
Right.
There's no way they get them both right.
All right,
There's no way.
They got 10 right last year.
Yeah, after a bunch of this and that and the other thing, and they got it right, but it's not a given.
They need a quarterback, they can get it at 5.
Or last year, would it have made sense to go up higher? Because it's not like Smith has been the best rookie so far. No disrespect to him. Yeah. I don't think he's the problem.
They can go higher.
But Pitts has been better.
They can go higher. They got 10
Chase
and 5.
Chase has been better.
To go higher.
I don't trust Howie. I'm sorry. I can't. I don't trust anything Howie did. Jeff McClain, I don't trust Howie at all.
I can see why you wouldn't. There's not a lot of people that do trust him. I look at 5 and 10. I'm pretty safe if Knucklehead Smith is picking at 5 and 10.
Not a double.
All right. Jen, you comfortable with 5 and 10?
I love that we have them, and Howie is going to screw it up.
You think so, huh?
Yeah, I do. It scares me.
All right. Well, anyway, that's supposed to be the good news.
Right.
All right. That's supposed to be the smile that you go into the break with. And then when we come out, we'll take up calls, and then we're going to play Nick Sirianni. His press conference somehow escaped the airwaves last night on 97.5 The Fanatic. But we have it. So it's 610-632-0975 to get in to the Mike Missinelli Show. And we are back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
You know, listen, I know that he's trying to say stuff and he's trying to answer questions, but all I hear was patter. That's patter. Like, he's every bit the novice here. He doesn't speak assertively nor convincingly about anything. And, you know, it just like cliche stuff like the connection, compete, accountability, football IQ, fundamentals, the dog mentality. He said that we always want to improve our fundamentals. We feel like we are getting better fundamentally. How? Just knowing the scheme, knowing the system. That's what preseason is for. The regular season, you don't take it little by little to know the scheme, know the system. You're supposed to be ready to go. That's why they hire an NFL coach. Get the system in. You believe in the system? Let's roll with the system. I'm stunned.
He didn't really have any. They're not getting better. And none of the it's almost like when the writers are asking the questions at this point, they're just begging for something that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why, like, a follow-up shouldn't be, well, where are they getting better?
Yeah.
If you're going to say that, in your answer, you got to be able to explain that. And he's like, okay. The writer's like, I don't want to have to destroy you. Can you give me any example where you're getting better? They look terrible on both ends of the ball every damn week.
You know, like, pro players want to be taught that a system that they're being given to their coach will work. They don't respond to, hey, let's go. Let's increase the dog mentality. I mean, come on. What are we, in high school? This is pro football.
Right. Players want a plan that they can execute that will help them win.
Double down on accountability. IQ, let's double down on that.
And he's talking about accountability. All these personal fouls. The linebackers stink. He hasn't cut not one person.
No.
The first thing Andy did when he became head coach is he found somebody to cut.
The defensive ripped the defensive coordinator. Unfettered.
Yeah, like, you know, it's all good. Yeah. Hey, I understand why he's frustrated. Hey, I get it too.
Yes.
So if you don't, and here's the other part. If you don't rock with Gannon, I don't know if there is there any chance. I don't know, but is there any chance that he was thrust upon him?
Maybe. Listen, you know how those guys are. They try to find the next star guy. So everybody's talking about Jonathan Gannon this, Jonathan Gannon
that.
Head
coach.
Right,
uh-huh.
We had to have him. And
right.
It's possible.
I don't
know. There's such a disconnect with this team right now. Nothing connects.
And he can't explain anything.
No, he's just patter. All, you know, it's just...
It's just the runaround.
Right, it really is.
And the only other thing in the last minute, because that was it, the whole thing, there was another 9 minutes of droning.
Yeah.
They asked him, because he wasn't going to answer, hey, now that you got a backup, is Minshew going to start? And he says, no, I believe in Hurts.
He believes in Hurts.
But that's all he can say.
Right, that's all he can say, and that's good. But he's also a coach that knows that if they lose to Detroit and the quarterback doesn't look good, just to kind of like give his team some respectability, he may have to try Minshew. I don't know.
As long as he's allowed. I do wonder how he comes in there and goes, hey, we blew up our franchise for this guy. You got to give him the whole year.
Yeah, but they didn't believe in Hurts either, did they? Aaron was talking about Deshaun Watson early on.
No, I think they did until they saw him play football.
I think at the draft.
They saw
him like on ABC on Saturday afternoon.
I think during the draft process and stuff, because they had leaked to people that they were going to go quarterback in the second round.
Because
somebody told me before the pick was made.
Yeah.
I remember. So I think they thought, this guy's the future.
Mm-hmm.
Then they saw him and they thought, well, maybe he's not the future. But I do think when they drafted him, he was Wentz's replacement.
Yeah.
And then he has not yet lived up to that billing. But I think at draft, I think they thought, we got our new quarterback. He's going to be mobile. This is the new thing in the league. I really think they thought that. And then they thought, oh, no, but he's not quite Lamar Jackson. He's not quite Allen up in Buffalo because of the arm. He's not quite this and that. But I think they really thought that and then had to double back, like, hold on, maybe he's not.
So they had their own scouting report on Jalen.
They've had their own scouting reports for years.
Yeah, not everybody else's scouting
report. They had a different scouting report on Rager. They have it versus Jefferson. Their scouting report on Jefferson said he could only play in the slot, and then he ends up with 1,500 damn yards. Their Howie's report says he could only play in the slot. Rager can do more things. That's what Howie's scouting report says. Uh-huh. His scouting reports are always different than his scouts and of the league. He drafts himself. When will Davion Taylor be a good football player? They draft him as a project. So this is year two. Right now, he has no idea what he's looking at, people that watch the film. They say he's out of position every snap. How long is it going to take him to learn how to play football? Howie said, because he's fast, he's going to be a really good linebacker, be sideline to sideline, he'll be great. Mm. Is next year the year on a third-round pick? Is the following year the last year of his contract? Is that the year? When will he know how to play football?
Hey, they have three first-round, three and first 17. They got it right here.
Yeah, but
5, 10, 17.
Right, but what happens if he drafts bad?
I'm just saying.
Again.
I'm just saying.
I can't with Howie.
I'm trying to give you a smile.
There's nothing going to happen.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
So let's call in the man who covers the Eagles for NBC Sports Philadelphia to start this hour. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. His name is Dave Zangaro. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Mike. I don't know. I mean, I think it makes sense. If one dog mentality doesn't work, you go double dog mentality.
That's right. He doubled down on the dog mentality. In addition to they have to just increase the connection to compete, the accountability, football IQ, and the fundamentals. The five things that he rides by. Now, did you get anything out of what he said?
Not much, honestly. I think he's kind of searching for answers the way the rest of us are, and that doesn't really instill a bunch of confidence in him right now. I mean, it's really tough to be confident in their coaching staff. I thought, you know, some of the stuff he said, he kind of had to. He kind of walked back the Gannon criticism a little bit, made it clear that, yeah, it's still my team, and, you know, I have to be responsible for all phases. I get that, but ultimately Gannon is the defensive coordinator. He's putting the plan together and all that. It was a weird press conference. I just think he doesn't have answers right now, and I don't know how he could based on what we've seen on the field.
Well, I mean, like, he did mention, like, again, a scheme can change, practice can change. Scheme has to change. I mean, I think that's the whole point. Doesn't it have to change?
Yeah, I mean, it's insanity to keep doing what they're doing, especially on the defensive side. And it's really, you know, the two facets of the game. On defense, I think Jonathan Gannon has some good ideas, generally speaking, right?
But uh-huh.
When you look at what the personnel he has, it's why are you doing it again? I mean, you're getting picked apart. It's in theory, I think we all understand what he's thinking is, look, I'm going to force teams to have these long drives on me. We're going to force them into mistakes. We're going to get off the field, but it's not working. They're not getting off the field. All they're doing is giving up 90-yard touchdown drives and it keeping their own offense off the field. So, and it's frustrating to watch. That's what makes it worse is it's such a passive style. I mean, you watch the TV version of the game, you think they only have 10 guys on the field, or 9 guys on the field, the safeties are playing so deep. It's a frustrating style of defense to watch. And if it works, you deal with it being, you know, not the most fun defense. And when it's not working, it's infuriating for fans because I think inherently defensive players want to attack.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll only be happy reading and reacting if it's working. When it's not working, you get frustration like what we saw with Fletcher Cox. And I don't know if that's the end of it, if this continues the way it's going.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We're talking about Minshew now. They made this deal, and now he's the number two. Do you believe it is a possibility that if they get down to Detroit, a terrible squad, like say it's 23-10 and they're late in the third quarter, do you think that this coach would pull this quarterback?
I guess it would depend on, I mean, if they're down 23-10, I think it's probably safe to assume Jalen Hurts isn't playing very well. I guess there's some realm of possibility where he's playing average and the rest of the team is making mistakes and they're down and then he wouldn't. But I don't know if it'll happen in this game. That might be premature, but I think having Gardner Minshew as the backup instead of Joe Flacco certainly opens up the possibility of a quarterback change at some point the rest of this year. And look, I don't know if it'll happen in Detroit. It's still relatively early, but I think it's more likely to see Gardner Minshew than if Joe Flacco remained the backup the rest of the season, because not only might you want to see what you have in Gardner Minshew, but Nick Sirianni, you know, if this continues, he's going to be coaching for his job. And I want to see if he can actually coach a more traditional style quarterback, because it definitely through seven games, it seems like him and Jalen Hurts are just not meshing well together. And you know, Jalen Hurts is a different kind of quarterback than he's traditionally had. So, and that's not to excuse anything Nick Sirianni's done, but I'm curious to see what the offense would look like with a better pocket passer. And I don't know if it would be any better. I don't think Gardner Minshew's, you know, like some long-term answer. Who knows? But I'd be curious to see what the offense looks like with a different quarterback. And if things continue to go the way they're going, I'm sure Sirianni would be pretty curious too.
Let's look at the defense a little bit, because, you know, this happened a couple games ago. Apparently, the reports were that he read the riot act of his defensive coordinator. He was asked the question, and he kind of says, yeah, he kind of looks in and, you know, the whole bit. But, the same thing happened. They play the same timid way on defense, and I wonder what influence the head coach has on this.
Yeah, it's strange. You're right, because that happened a few weeks ago, and here we are again, and it's the same thing. It's, you know, this passive style, you can beat Sam Darnold because he's going to make mistakes. But what happens when you have a decent quarterback and good quarterbacks like we've seen in for the last 5 weeks? They've been shredded. It's embarrassing, and it doesn't fit. What they're doing doesn't fit their personnel. They don't have linebackers, Mike.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're having these plays that should be stopped for 4 or 5 yards, go for 12, and they're moving the chains. I mean, they weren't even getting into third down situations to give themselves a chance to get off the field in that last game. There's such a weird disconnect, and I don't understand the refusal to change from Jonathan Gannon. I'll be honest, I'm really disappointed and surprised by what we've seen from Gannon, because, you know, no one wanted to hire Nick Sirianni, right? There was one team interested in him, they hired him. And you say, all right, you give the Eagles the benefit of the doubt. They've actually hired head coaches before in that manner that no one wanted, and they did all right. But Jonathan Gannon, you know, it was pretty well documented that he was going to have a defensive coordinator job somewhere.
Yeah.
And a big part of hiring Nick Sirianni was that, you know, he had this staff, and the cornerstone of that staff was Jonathan Gannon. And he talked a great game about wanting to fit the player's strengths, and he doesn't have a scheme because he wants to be multiple and he wants to do whatever his players do best, and he's done the exact opposite of that through seven games. So I'm kind of dumbfounded by it, honestly. I expected a lot more from him, and I haven't seen it. And I don't know what's the downside. You give up 40 points instead of 33, and you play more aggressive, and at least we see there's a different way about it. You know, prove us wrong then, you know? If you think this passive style is so great, then show us the alternative. And when, you know, you get blown, passes go over the top, maybe we'll say, oh, man, I wish we were in cover two, but I just won't see that happening.
All right, Fletcher Cox has something to say about it. And, you know, when a player starts carping, a veteran player, the rest of the players have a tendency to go, geez, do our coaches really know what they're doing? So what did you think of that, and how you think this plays out?
Yeah, it's kind of been leaking out in bits and pieces, and it felt like when Fletcher was talking to us, he was still biting his tongue. I don't think he really let it fly. I get his frustration, and that's not to excuse his play, because I don't think he's played particularly well, but it doesn't mean his points are any less valid. And it's funny, all these things we're talking about, like, it's October, it's week 7. This is like conversation we're supposed to have in late November, December, when things are off the rails.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty early. I mean, it's early to be talking about this stuff, but that's where they are right now. And they're not just losing, they're getting pushed around. These games are bad. I mean, some of these final scores make it look a little better than it is. They're not fooling anyone because we're watching the whole game. They're down big and they're a great garbage time team to make it look close at the end, but they're getting embarrassed now week in and week out. And I get the frustration. And if it continues like this, it's not the last of it we're going to hear.
Jeez. I mean, I don't know what to say about this now. Now they have a running back who's going to be out. They're playing the Lions. I would think.
How about that? Right when they start to run the ball, the running back gets
Yeah.
Out.
So
anything else can't go wrong.
So what is that? I mean, this coach has a tendency to react to stuff like that instead of going, okay, I can trust my other guys. What do you think happens with Sanders out?
Yeah, they're going to have to bring Jordan Howard up from the practice squad. I don't know what he has left, but he's probably your best bet if you're going to go with the heavy run style, which let's not hold our breath on that one. He would probably be the guy best suited for that. I thought they were actually slow to go to Boston Scott between the tackles in that last game. I just don't think Kenny Gainwell is built for that kind of role. They are reactionary, and they do get they got away from it in that game when Miles went down, and they got down a little bit in that game. All of a sudden, they're out of the run. Yeah, I think they'll kind of go a little bit running back by committee. I don't think there's much meat on the bone for the running backs because they don't run the ball a heck of a lot. So, that's what they're going to have to do. They bring up Jordan Howard and split up carries somehow there. But losing Miles is such a big deal because they finally proved to us and to themselves maybe that, yeah, maybe there's something to running the ball and getting under center and giving defense a different look. And just when it started to work, the key piece of that got hurt. Really frustrating.
I know these guys stay in the closet a lot, but are you hearing any feedback on what Lurie and Roseman are thinking at this point?
Yeah, no, I haven't heard a lot. But when a team's this bad, Mike, we're going to hear it at some point. And look, I think it's too early still to really talk about this being a one and done coaching staff, but it's in the back of everyone's minds right now. It has to be, right? I mean, we talked about it just a minute ago. It's not like they're losing. They're getting embarrassed. And if there's one thing Jeffrey Lurie doesn't like, it's getting embarrassed. And that's kind of what's been happening here in the early going. Franchise is kind of at a crossroads right now. They value stability, so that's one coin in that column where they're going to be stable and they want the coaching staff to remain, but they're going to have an influx of young talent coming with this next draft. Who makes those picks is another story, and whether or not Howie Roseman's the right guy to make them is another story, but they're going to have a lot of young players, and who do you want to develop these players? That's really the big question coming out of this season. We know that Jeff Lurie is not overly reactionary, but everyone has a limit.
You think that it's possible that he could fire this guy?
I don't want to get there yet. Anything's possible, Mike.
I think he's committed to giving him another year at least because he's handpicked them, right?
Yeah, I think he's going to fire him.
Could be a possibility.
It's October.
Oh, interesting.
If they lose out, sure.
Yeah.
If they lose all their division games, sure. This isn't a very good division. They lose to the Giants twice. They lose to Washington twice. They lose to there's some winnable games on the schedule. If they can't find ways to win them, then anything's possible. I think he's going to be back next year.
Yeah.
Because, Jeff Lurie is traditionally patient, and I think there is something to be said for stability, but it's bad, Mike. It's pretty bad.
All right. Sounds good. We appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Yeah, take care, Mike.
Dave Sangaro from NBC Sports Philly on the Comcast Business Hotline laying it out for us.
Back
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.